All right, I'm going to call the foundation.
No, you're good.
I'll call the foundation board to order and ask Andrea to call the roll.
Director Shore.
Present.
Director Borja.
Here.
Director Perez-Gil.
Here.
Director Rogers.
Here.
Director Matthews.
Here.
Vice President Laura.
Here.
President Nizar.
Here. Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Now is the time for public comment on items not on the agenda. Is there any public comment? Hearing none, we'll move to the consent agenda, which includes the board minutes from the last meeting. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we'll move on to the Foundation CEO report. Dr. Barzica.
Thank you. I have a brief update on the homelessness initiative, which we started officially on August 1st of 2015. This was a result of the Barbara Poppy report commissioned by the district. The main recommendation was to establish a collaborative. Some of the activities that have occurred today, the successful implementation.
I'm sorry, Conrad, can you use the mic? There's an echo in here.
Sorry. The successful implementation and operations of the summer overnight cooling centers in Palm Springs, Cathedral City, and Desert Hot Springs, the finalization of the heat grant funding for the 25 Familiar Faces program that will actually expand to 100 Familiar Faces, adopting the city housing first contract with Path of Life, which will include operation of the daytime access center at the old boxing club location in Palm Springs, providing direct services, increasing the number of crisis stabilization units from 12 to 24, implementation of the rapid resolution diversion program, and also held a very well attended training session on rapid resolution for our local service providers, where the coalition is working with the city of Desert Hot Springs, the county, and the office of Two Punch Palms on
Greg, I have a couple questions. There are obviously a lot of balls in the air here, and you do a good job juggling. So just to remind myself as I'm thinking here, we have CVAG and their Housing First program, and that was funded for a second year with matching for a second year, and that year ends in June? Okay. And what are plans for at the end of that June?
Well, ideally, we would like to have another match for FY 2021. But we're actually looking, we obviously know there's some financial constraints on the district. Whether we do the full match of 100 would be great for each city. What's been great is as the last CVAG Homelessness Committee, we got a pretty good indication from the city of Indian Wells that they would join in the funding, so that would be all nine cities. It's really an unprecedented thing in the county. We're serving as a model for the rest of the county and how we're matching not only healthcare district dollars, private dollars, with city dollars, but also the county as well. If the 100,000 match is not doable, maybe we look at a reduced match amount. I would still encourage the cities to come in at 100. I'm actually working hopefully with some other cities that have a little bit more financial capability to come in at a higher level. This is going to be the move in how we finance homelessness services, whether that's capital improvements or services. The governor, as you know, the supervisor sits on the governor's advisory task force. We were up in Sacramento at a meeting yesterday. They will be looking for basically obligations from state, county, and localities. So we need to look at this model that we're doing. Additionally, looking at the other half money that's coming down, which is the new heat, and how we leverage those sources as well.
So that's for the Housing First program.
It's actually, and you talked about juggling the balls in the air, it's really as we look, and again, I'll be coming out with kind of a full analysis report in January. Barbara kind of did the whole 30,000 foot view and kind of gave us some basic recommendations. What I have only done is dive in about what services we actually have here, what's the best practices that not only we're using, but that other jurisdictions are using, and how do we implement those. So even though it's the city housing first, within that less is not the be-all, end-all. We do have to have some type of shelter beds available. Carol knows that well. We're actually working with the city and their $10 million application on how we do that. There's a rapid resolution piece or version, whichever words you want to use. There's prevention aspect to it. So even though it's the CV Housing First plan, within that, and you'll see that in the contract that we've negotiated with Path of Life for this next year, there's a lot of different those elements within that as well.
So I guess the point I want to make is that one of the Barbara Poppe's first recommendation was that there be a collaborative, and basically everything go through the collaborative so that there aren't silos and duplication and things like that. We have seen even recently the city of Palm Springs coming to us to fund a crisis team.
Right.
And again, I realize that the collaborative isn't quite up and running yet, as it hopefully will be in the future, but I hope at some point, sooner rather than later, that everything goes through the collaborative. And when money comes in from whatever source, when it goes out, it's done cooperatively between the different players around Coachella Valley, so that people aren't fighting for funds and trying to get money from other places and competing with each other for those kind of funds.
Absolutely, and that's a great example, Les. I'm already in conversations with Marcus from Behavioral Health from the county and Christy from the city of Palm Springs, and I have talked as well as Savvy from Palm Desert, just in those crisis teams. How can we better leverage those money so even in Palm Springs and Palm Desert, who are individually funding those teams, contribute to the collaborative as a pool, we can actually spread those teams out in a more diverse and regional type of way. Additionally, I'm convening on January 6th, I believe is the date, a meeting about the upcoming HAP funding amongst all of our service providers here in the desert, our county organizations, basically anybody out here, and actually basically anybody out there who does homeless services, to your point, Les, so that we're actually, how do we access this money in a more regional, collaborative approach and not siloing that out? So.
Okay. Any other questions for Greg?
I have a comment. I really like the way you described the fact that you are working collaboratively with other cities and the service providers, and I think that the way you are positioning the valley, that this really strengthens our opportunities to be able to find other funding outside of the area. So I think you're doing a really great job.
Thank you, I appreciate that. And as I said, and I'm not just tooting my own horn here, because a lot happened before I came to this position, but we really are a model, and I can just tell you, the supervisor and I, yesterday, right, it was our fifth meeting of the task force, we are really far ahead versus other regions in this state about how we're taking a more regional, collaborative approach. We're getting tired of the word collaborative, but that's the jargon that day. And to your point, is that's how we're going to access other funding, and not just public funding, but really some more private dollars and outside of the district level as well. And that's what the governor wants.
Sure.
Tribal governments?
Yes.
The funding that we've provided and the summer shelters have really helped reduce the numbers in a particular area of tribal land in between Indio and Coachella, tribal land. And so you can see like the amount of reduced people living outdoors compared to last year. It is incredibly significant. So thank you all for continuing to like move this along, and thank you so much, and definitely the supervisor. Tribal governments, are they in? Or
so, you know, and I think anybody who works with tribal governments knows that it's a long process. It's a relationship building process. Agotayantiban has been in for the last 2 years at about $30,000, so they have been contributing. Those conversations, Karen, are ongoing, not only from my level, but also, you know, individual cities that have tribal jurisdictions within their area. I believe we're moving Agotayante. We're actually talking about, especially when we talk about the affordable housing development, really talking to the tribe more about possible land donations. I think that's our biggest cost when we're building housing, is the land aspect. There's some issues, obviously, that they have with fiduciary responsibility to their tribe, but we think we can make it fiduciary, actually beneficial to them as well. But also to your point, too, in the East Valley, too. And I think some city leaders would argue with you whether there's less people out in the streets, but we definitely did see that there is movement. We still have an issue. But it's an ongoing, long process, but it doesn't mean that those conversations aren't going to be happening. demonstrate to the tribes, the cities, and the county, the healthcare district, and other private entities are on this kind of collaborative regional approach. We believe they'll come along as well. As you know, they have a commitment to the Valley. So I just don't think they've ever been asked.
Okay.
Thank you.
I just wanted, number one, I wanted to point out that we had a Supreme Court ruling yesterday that sleeping outside is not a crime, so that cities, counties, and municipalities cannot convict people or put people in jail for doing that. But that just exacerbates a problem because we need people, places to sleep outside. So my question is that I know that there's a lot of rain coming down, and it'd be great if we had some kind of a roadmap to see where we're going with that. I know that some of the terminology is shovel ready, and I asked my city where I live what they're looking at in terms of what might be available, quote, shovel ready. And it's politics all over again. You know, there's vacant motels, vacant this and that, and nobody wants anything in their neighborhood. So
yeah, and I think the good thing, and you're right, Carol, and that's the most frustrating thing. You know, I will tell you, there'll be conversations already had with Desert Hot Springs and Cathedral City about kind of replicating the access center model that we're doing in Palm Springs. Not overnight yet, but if we can get, the key is trying to get people, we need a location that people can go to actually access those services. It's proven that it needs to be in the community that they reside in. Because homeless people, even though might be throughout the valley, homeless people in Desert Hot Springs don't only Desert Hot Springs, same thing with Cathedral City and Palm Springs. We are working on a roadmap for funding. What we're looking at too, Carol, is that we have to, especially in the case of Palm Springs as a perfect example, because we have a $10 million allocation from the state that is primarily for capital improvements, we still have to look to make sure we have the operational expenses. So, you know, to Desert Hot Springs, I can get a location tomorrow to actually do something, but I don't have operating revenues for that. So that's what we need to look at when we're going with the HAP money, when we're dealing with the regional approach, is how do we make sure that we have sustainable funds going forward. And those are conversations not only happening here locally, but on a countywide level too, as well as that's what we've been emphasizing in the state, not just my boss and myself, but the other regions as well, is that it's great that the state will provide, especially capital money, but if you're not going to provide us the ongoing sustainable money for the delivery of services, that capital money is a waste of our time. So we're moving in the right direction.
Okay, thank you. We're going to move on to the program committee now. Director Rogers.
Thank you. Again, we have in the packet of pages 18 to 23 two action items for the board to consider. We have people from each of the organizations and staff come talk to us about the grant applications. So is this up to Donna to review them for us?
Is it on? Yes. Okay, I have before you grant number 1043, which is a small grant request from Riverside Community Housing Corporation asking for matching funds, and the match is also with the county, to provide emergency stopgap water station for the residents of the Oasis Mobile Home Park. Coachella Valley Water District will be supplying the truck and the operator, and we'll be bringing the truck back and forth. And meanwhile, Riverside County is working with the EPA to get home filtration devices into the different homes. So this is just an emergency stopgap, $15,844, which the county will match. And they're hoping by the end of the 2 months that these filtration devices will be installed.
Do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any further discussion? Roll call.
Director Shore?
Yes.
Director Borja?
Yes.
Director Perestio?
Yes.
Director Rogers?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Yes.
Vice President Lara?
Yes.
Yes. Next item.
The next item was the result of the work that Eva Ford completed for the district, creating a report on behavioral health needs that was presented to the Green Ribbon Committee in the month of September and the month of October. The board directed me to bring back this report that you have in front of you, which indicates what similarity of work that we propose to implement and use the $2 million that were allocated for behavioral health, that will include having a collective impact framework to addressing behavioral health care needs in Coachella Valley. And that will require some resources that have already been allocated, but we need authorization to utilize them in this way, which is to hire two additional staff. One person will be sort of a director, so senior program officer position. She will be, or he will be, in charge of leading the coalition and making sure that there is communication and coordination among different service providers, and that there is a strategic direction to ensure that additional resources are brought to Coachella Valley. And the additional position will be someone in charge of development, someone who can write grants and attract additional funding that can be leveraged with district funds to have a robust community implementation of behavioral health strategies in the valley.
Is there a, do I hear a motion to accept? Approve?
I move to approve, but then I have a question.
Second. Is there a second to approve?
Second.
Question.
Will we also consider having a behavioral health advisory committee composed of community members to help us guide the process, number one? And number two, is there a possibility that we might find some student volunteer residents to help us with the initiative?
Well, one of the key recommendations from the Green Ribbon Committee was that the Green Ribbon Committee stays and that will serve as an advisory to the implementation of this program.
Mm-hmm. And students?
And students?
Residents?
I don't see why not.
Greg can find us some students.
We can find it.
Are there other questions or comments? No questions or comments? Roll call.
Director Shore?
Yes.
Director Borja?
Yes.
Director Perezquio?
Yes.
Director Rogers?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Yes.
Vice President DeLauro?
Yes.
President Zell?
Yes. Is there any old business? Is there any new business? Okay, we'll move on to director comments. Let me start. I want to congratulate President-elect Alara and Vice President Secretary-elect Borja and Treasurer for Life, Matthew. I kind of just want to reflect for a minute, because this has actually been quite a momentous 18 months, I guess you'd call it. The expansion of the district in November a year ago. The addition of two new board members to represent the East Valley, selection of a new director to replace a director who moved out of the district, and then the selection of a new CEO, and the CV Link issue, which threatened to kind of derail us and take a lot of time, and I think it was handled very well. And I want to actually thank Jeff Scott, because Jeff spent a lot of time on it, and it was at times, I'm sure, threading the needle, and I really appreciate it.
And I want to thank the board, because he helped me a lot on this. We had to do it together.
So I think we're in a very good place. I think the staff enjoys doing what they're doing, and I think the directors enjoy what we're doing, and I look forward to working together. This next year, we face four zones having an election, and then we have, what do you call it, congressional, not congressional, reapportionment after the 2020 census. So, and then of course we have the whole little issue of the lease of the hospital and what's going to happen in 2027 and seismic. So it's been a very productive and I think positive year. The next year is going to be very busy, and I'm looking forward to it, and I think I'm looking forward to being part of this board to help solve the problem. So.
Excuse me, President Sindel, in addition to the people that were appointed, we also had one person that was newly elected into her position as well.
But, that's right. That's right. Is that last November?
And that is Director Fresco.
Is that last November?
1 year.
Yes.
It's going to be a year tomorrow.
That's right.
1 year anniversary.
That's right. That's right. That was the first election. And Director Rogers was reelected in a new zone. That's right. So, right. It's been a busy year. Other comments?
I also want to echo President Sandel's comments about what a year this has been. I have just thoroughly enjoyed learning. There's been so much that I have learned in this last year about what the district does and the importance of working together and listening and just taking action. I think we got a lot of things done this past year. And I really look forward to this coming year. I am counting on my fellow board members to help me through this year to make it a success, and really, especially the staff. I look forward to working with you in this new capacity, but you've always been great, so I expect nothing less. So, and I just want to wish you all Feliz Navidad and Prospero Año.
Oh, okay. May I? As the junior member of this organization and the most recent addition to the board, I'd like to just reflect on the fact that it's all too easy for boards, let alone public boards, to have a diversity that is divisive and fractious and dissenting. This is not the board we have here. We have a wide variety of opinions. We have a wide variety of perspectives. But when the day is done, there's a consensus, and the consensus is the priority of this organization, and it's not only am I proud, I consider it a privilege to participate. Thank you. Happy New Year, Merry Christmas to all.
Anybody else?
Well, this has been a very long year, but I would like to thank everybody in the office. You guys have made my job a lot easier. You have been very inspirational in the way you have helped me do my job. And this has been, I don't know how to explain it, but you guys have shown me so much support in this position that I could never pay you guys back. And I wanna say thank you very much for all your help, and I wish you guys a blessed Christmas.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
We have a terrific staff. Thank you very much for your service. How awesome you are to work with.
Okay, before I adjourn, I want to wish everybody a happy holiday,
happy Hanukkah,
Merry Christmas, happy Kwanzaa.